This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, June 1st. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Talk about 5G has been everywhere these past few years. The next generation networks are supposed to bring super fast download speeds and enable the next wave of tech innovation. But in the US, the rollout has been hitting some speed bumps. Coming up, our tech reporter Jared Counsell will explain what's slowing the US down and what that could mean for its continued tech leadership. That's after these headlines. Last year, Russia-linked hackers carried out one of the most sophisticated cyber attacks ever detected against the software provider SolarWinds. It compromised dozens of U.S. businesses and government agencies. Now, it appears that those hackers are back. Microsoft said the hackers took over an online account that the U.S. Agency for International Development uses for mass emails and used it to send phishing emails to around 3,000 workers at more than 150 organizations. The attack appears to have been largely unsuccessful, Microsoft said, since most of the messages were marked as spam. But investigators say it shows that the hackers behind SolarWinds aren't going away. A spokesman for Microsoft declined to say how his company had linked the attack to the SolarWinds incident. Russia has pushed back against U.S. government officials' claims that it was behind the SolarWinds hack, and it dismissed this latest Microsoft report as well. And food delivery businesses like Uber Eats and DoorDash did record business during the pandemic as millions of people embraced the idea of ordering dinner via smartphone app. But even at the height of their success, the companies weren't making any money. Now, as the pandemic wanes, our restaurants reporter Heather Haddon says the delivery companies are trying to figure out ways to make the math work. Here's Heather.
So there's a number of things these apps are trying to do. They're trying to batch these orders together more efficiently, so drawing different orders from different customers together to be handled by one driver and hopefully get the tech right. So it actually does make it cheaper to do this as opposed to that driver shuttling orders to individuals at their homes. We also had an interesting example about errors. Errors have been an issue, and DoorDash was finding that often when they were delivering from Cheesecake Factory, the workers were forgetting to put in the cheesecake because they bundled all the hot food together and then they forgot to put in the cold food, which is the cheesecake, and that caused a lot of issues and errors. So they're simple, you know, it sounds so simple, but you know, it does involve technology to do this. It also involves, you know, just identifying that these are issues and then investing in them.
All right, coming up after the break, wireless carriers say 5G will bring ultra-fast internet speeds. But in the US, the rollout has been anything but. What's causing the holdup? Next.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
For years now, we've been promised blazing fast speeds as next generation 5G networks are rolled out. The major carriers, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, have all made 5G a central part of their marketing campaigns, and they've pitched it as the foundation for a new era of technological innovation. But in the US, the rollout of those networks isn't living up to the hype. So what gives? Our reporter Jared Counsell has been looking into this, and he joins me now. Hey, Jared, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So just to put some numbers and figures to this picture, what is the state of 5G rollout in the US? Where do the major carriers stand in comparison to the rest of the world?
Yeah, so the three major carriers, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile here in the US, they all say they have nationwide 5G coverage, which means that, you know, their 5G networks cover roughly 200 million or so people. While that is true, the 5G that people get is really not materially different from the 4G that they already have. I'll just throw out one number here. Here in the US, the average 5G speed is about 67 megabits per second. In South Korea, it's 366 megabits per second. So pretty much six times that, you know, so the speeds aren't, you know, anything to shout home about yet, but they are improving. And, you know, the carriers are building out their networks. So folks in the industry expect some of the building of equipment and towers and such to really kick up in 2022. And so we're getting some progress, but we still have a ways to go.
Yeah. And I want to dig into some of the reasons that this rollout has stuttered in the U.S. The first one has to do with the actual airwaves that 5G signals travel over. What can you tell us?
So there are really kind of three buckets, if you will, or types of 5G spectrum that sit on the entire radio spectrum. And one is low band. The other two, not surprisingly, are mid band and high band. The big differences between them is that, you know, low band can reach very far, but the speeds are not the greatest. The opposite end of the spectrum is high band, which has the blazing speeds, but it doesn't reach very far. You have to kind of be sitting right near a cell tower to get those kind of speeds. And then mid-band, which is kind of the Goldilocks of the three. It balances speed and range out. And so the problem for the carriers here in the U.S. is that mid-band spectrum has really been not available for them.
And why not?
The big reason is that the government owns a lot of, or I should say government agencies own a lot of that mid-band spectrum. They're using it for things like military communications, weather services, and the process of sort of finding other homes, if you will, for them and making that mid-band spectrum available for private companies is a long one. And as you can imagine, with government, you know, there can be some turf battles, if you will. And so that's really been kind of the biggest reason. That is changing a bit here, because there was an auction earlier this year where the government sold some of that mid-band spectrum to telecom companies. It was an $81 billion auction, and some of that spectrum is being made available now.
Got it. Okay, so I think that brings us to the next issue, that spectrum that's needed for good 5G access requires totally different hardware. And that comes with its own host of issues.
Yeah. So another factor has to do with the equipment. 4G and 5G are totally different types of networks. They have, you know, 5G has the ability to connect more devices and handle things like autonomous vehicles and remote surgery and things of that nature. And so it just requires new types of equipment. And part of the issue has to deal with, you know, there are standards that have to be set. And a lot of that was delayed in part because of the pandemic. And then sort of overall, a lot of the equipment makers are not U.S. companies. There are sort of five big players. All of them are foreign companies. Two of them are based in China, and they're ZTE and Huawei. And there's been some concerns within the U.S. about buying equipment from those companies. So in many ways, the carriers here in the U.S. were kind of really left with three. And so that's just it's been a bit of a headwind, if you will, for development or deployment efforts for 5G.
Yeah, and we've been covering some of the back and forth on the show, even especially around Huawei. So, Jared, the last problem I want to talk with you about is about the actual applications of the technology. You know, we talk about how 4G enabled the app economy. It's a big reason that companies like Uber, for instance, are even around. And the way that 5G has been pitched, it's that it's going to bring about that scale of change, a new generation of tech and of innovation. But it seems like some of those ideas, those applications just aren't there yet.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. 4G, the thing that sort of helped adoption there was that people could see the benefit of having 4G versus 3G. And one of the big reasons for that was video. Consumers could actually notice dramatic changes in just being able to access video for the first time on mobile devices that didn't buffer all the time. And so that was kind of the app, if you will, or they call it the killer use case that drove adoption for 4G, but that doesn't seem to exist, at least not yet, with 5G. And that is making the telecom companies say, all right, you know, this is worth pouring investment capital into, you know, to build out because we actually have demand for this kind of killer app. So there's no killer app yet. It could come soon, but we just haven't seen it yet.
And, you know, not to mention these carriers kind of got burned with the 4G rollout too, right?
Yeah. I spoke to several people who mentioned this, including former executives at equipment makers and other telecom companies. And they said when 4G came around, they spent all of this money, you know, again, building out these networks and building towers and so on and so forth. And most of the value that came from that went to technology companies that benefited from those services or that connectivity. One example of that is Uber. You know, they wouldn't be around if you didn't have if your mobile devices couldn't quickly update your location, you know, and really create that app economy. And what it means is that they're just a little more cautious about how fast they deploy, you know, investment capital. One of the areas that they are looking at are businesses. They believe enterprises will be, at least at first, you know, one of the main users of 5G, you know, for connected factories, IoT devices, that sort of thing. But a question there is, are these enterprises going to go to the wireless carriers to build the 5G networks, or are they going to essentially build it themselves or you know, work with a different party? And so that remains to be seen. I know there's been a lot of partnerships, if you will, between some of the big carriers and, you know, companies like Amazon that are targeting businesses with some of these 5G capabilities, but it's still early days on that.
Got it. So, Jared, you've just laid out some of these reasons that the U.S.'s rollout has been so slow, particularly compared to other countries. You mentioned South Korea up at the top. I'm wondering what the impact of this could be, you know, particularly as the U.S. works to maintain its leadership in tech in the face of competitors like China, for instance.
Yeah, this is a good point. The U.S., especially in the past few years, has really made an emphasis on investing in technology to compete with other countries. You know, that competition is militarily, that it has to do with economics, you know, because we all know how tech can drive innovation and markets. And so the U.S. government in particular has really made an emphasis to invest in AI and quantum sciences and also in 5G. And, you know, I think what the implications of this sort of slow rollout are that, you know, sort of getting to the innovations that could lead to new technologies, you know, could lead to advances in science and healthcare and so on and so forth. They just might be a little delayed. You know, if other countries already have that infrastructure and already have 5G, you know, that's up and running and buzzing at full capacity, so to speak, you know, they could get there faster. So I think that's a concern for the U.S. and why they are making a push to do something about it, you know, through policy and other measures.
All right. That's our reporter, Jared Counsell. Thanks, Jared.
All right. Thanks.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.